Hi everyone, this is a podcast about diet. Please listen to what your doctors tell you and don't do it. And I say, just because I say you need to do proper research, speak to people who've had success, and don't view any of what I say as being instead of advice from doctors, train people. Not that I say it, I'm too controversial. But I just wanted to say as well, I sound a bit miserable in this because I think I'd had a funny weekend and it was like Sunday night. Also, there's a very loud film being played next door, which you can basically hear. So that's not me killing people in the background or someone I know killing people in the background. That's just the voice of screams and some intense thriller or drama in the background. Enjoy. Hi, everyone. This is Tim. Welcome to North and South Podcast. It's late in the day on the 21st of May, and I haven't had a very good day today. Been a bit up and down, but it's been a beautiful day in terms of weather, and I thought I would do a podcast on something which I've been meaning to do for a while in relation to food and drink. I've basically got a very rare genetic illness called Behçet's disease, which I won't go into on this podcast, but it's basically, it's about 2,500 people with Behçet's in the United Kingdom. And it's called Behçet's after a Turkish doctor called Behçet. But the disease was written about a couple of thousand years ago. It's prominent along the Silk Route going over to the Far East. And it becomes increasingly rare as you move west. And it's a bit like MS, fibromyalgia, lupus, multiple sclerosis, things like that. So it's an autoimmune condition, but it's auto-inflammatory. So it's caused me a lot of problems over the last 20 plus years. So I first got interested in food and drink and diet as a result of being diagnosed with Behçet's. And although I was a fairly healthy-ish eater, I think, I wasn't the most sensible eater at times, had quite a bit of chocolate and biscuits and nonsense and takeaways, and drank a little bit too much in my youth. I was a bit of a binge drinker, not really someone who drank in the house. And when I first got diagnosed with Behçet's disease, I was really suffering with lethargy for a couple of years. And I read a couple of health books by Deepak Chopra about living longer and living better quality lives, etc. And there was a couple of chapters on diet which I got interested in, and this is when, like, you know, the five a day thing wasn't really that big, and you know, we teach a lot more in schools in the UK today than we have in the past. But I was generally healthy-ish, I would say, up to a point, although I have had a lot of sugar and rubbish, far too much sugar when I was young. I think when you're a youngster, you like raid the fridge and eat a lot of absolute nonsense, which when you're young, you just kind of do because you think you're going to live forever. But as I got older, I realised that that wasn't good and I needed to make a change because my general health wasn't good with the lethargy, and I had problems with my eyes. I lost a bit of sight in my eye because of the Behçet's, etc. So, you know, there was a few things going on which I felt like I could take more control of. Thinking back, I think the longer you can hold off your children from eating rubbish foods, the better, because they reckon that by 11 years of age, the average child in the UK has eaten as much sugar as they should have done by 18. And that's just because of the high sugar content. Now, I'm not going to go into the advertising and the food industry in the UK, which is shocking, basically, and the power that they have in the political system is appalling. I think one of the worst examples is in the United States, where they have actually got a declining life expectancy because of the impacts of diet and poor lifestyle under the guise of freedom and liberty, while not providing them with the healthcare that they need over there. But that's another story. So energy drinks, when I was a bit younger, after I played cricket, I'd have a couple of energy drinks. But energy drinks are becoming much bigger now with kids, as a bit of a drug of choice to get them through the day, particularly when they've been up late at night on the phones, watching TV, doing whatever kids do these days. When I was young, there wasn't much to do after a certain time, so you might as well go to bed. Energy drinks were not really a big thing. We just kind of we're expected to get our energy from food and having a good night's sleep, and I am a bit concerned about the ubiquity of these crazy energy drinks in the UK today. So sugar and energy drinks, big problems in the world today, in the UK today, I think, amongst young people. But anyway, 2003-04, Betches disease, I am struggling. I decided to reduce my dairy consumption on the back of these two books I read by Deepak Chopra. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. I stopped having sweets and chocolate, and I came up with an idea called replacement theory, which is where if you stop having something, you replace it with other things. So I did quite a bit of research in the supermarket, going to the supermarket and looking for these certain things that were recommended in these books for a healthy diet. I also stopped eating red meat, which I wasn't a big fan of anyway, and just went down to white meat. And then I went down to fish only, which I'm still on today, to get protein from fish. Again, there's loads of moral, ethical, political debates around food and diet, which I won't go into here, but I am concerned about the morality of the food industry, particularly the way animals are treated. I am concerned about the energy that goes into things like meat production and to do with sustainability moving forward. So it's not just about health considerations for me, but that's primarily what I'm talking about today. So I did a lot of research and I replaced what I stopped with other things that were new, and some of them were nice and some of them I had to like get used to. But I found that there was good taste there if you knew where to look. And I think in the early noughties, it started to pick up this kind of vegetarian diet available in places. Vegan diet started to become a little bit more acceptable. Restaurants were starting to open and it was becoming a bit more of a thing compared to how it had been in the past. I did notice I felt better, but I wouldn't say that there were significant improvements. And by the end of 2003, I started to eat chocolate and sweets again, which weren't in huge numbers, but I just had a bit of a sweet tooth, and it was just a little treat for me. I was also on steroids, prednisolone, at this time for my genetic illness, and that definitely gave me more of an appetite. And I would sometimes have a huge meal and then keep eating after the meal. And a lot of that I put down to being on steroids and the side effects of those. In 2006, I had a serious illness relating to the Behçet's disease. And at the age of 29, I decided to stop drinking alcohol, partly because hangovers were not as good as they used to be, i.e. they were more difficult to deal with. And also, I was on medications which you shouldn't really have alcohol with, one of them being methotrexate, which is an immunosuppressant, which helps people with autoimmune conditions where your own immune system attacks your body, such as with Behçet's disease. So basically what I did is I stopped drinking completely. And I felt better, I wasn't dealing with hangovers, and I wasn't dealing with those toxins. But again, I wouldn't say there were significant day-to-day improvements in my health because of that change. At that time, I also started antidepressants for depression, which is another thing you shouldn't really have alcohol with. And because alcohol is a depressant, I thought it was wise not to consume alcohol if I was having issues with depression. In 2016-17, I started to become more aware of things such as these low-carb diets and low-sugar diets. And there'd been the Atkins diet going back where, like, oh, avoid all carbs, which some people call dangerous. I know that in the past, you know, the idea that, oh, you can have a balanced diet and you can still have some stuff which isn't considered good for you, providing it's in reasonable amounts. But for me, when I opened a packet of chocolate biscuits, I didn't take two or three. I'd eat half the packet, and that was on a good day. Also, when you're going out drinking, you realise that, like, having a few pints of water throughout the evening, spacing it out, those kind of things, that there was ways of managing it. I did start to drink a lot of water when I got to a certain age to stay hydrated throughout the day, which is one of the best things you can do for mood and energy is to A, have a good night's sleep, and B, drink lots of water. So I've been doing those kind of things for a few years. I made sure my coffee intake wasn't too high, so you shouldn't have more than 5 cups of coffee a day. And I was doing that because I read that coffee drinkers can often live quite long lives, but you needed to be careful with the coffee drinking. So in 2016-17, I decided that I was going to take the lower carb route, partly because I was now in my 40s, and I think I was starting to maybe metabolize weight a bit more than I used to in the past. I've always been quite tall and athletic, and I felt that cutting down on the carbs might help if I reduce carbohydrate intake and sugar intakes. And a big change occurred, and it was Nutribullets, which are those, you know, smoothies that people have. And someone recommended me one, and it was my acupuncturist, actually. And he said, you know, you're someone who values the health. And I was talking about, like, carbs and that, and, you know, making sure that I'm not eating too much carbohydrate throughout the day and too much bread and stuff. So I was cutting down on my bread intake. And he said, have you heard about these smoothies where you don't have carbs? I bought one, a Nutribullet, and they wash very easily, the containers, but basically it's a food blender. And the idea was you have 50% vegetable, 50% fruit, and you don't have any carbs or sugars or anything like that in it, unless it's natural sugars like in the fruit or whatever. And I started having that for one of my meals about, it was for breakfast or usually lunch. And I swear my energy levels increased significantly in the evenings. I was not going home and needing to sleep every night after work. This was before I'd had a son. My Behçet's disease is an inflammatory disease. It causes problems. It makes you feel bad. I had issues all over my body with symptoms to do with Behçet's disease, but I was largely just getting on with it the best I could, despite the lethargy improving because of medications I went on and things like that. I felt it was the medications I was taking and not the changes I'd made, which were making these huge leaps forward. But these Nutribullets changed my energy levels overnight, and I was like, wow, I'm now going home after work and having a productive evening instead of falling asleep on the couch, not being able to go on social occasions on working nights because I literally never had the energy to get off the couch sometimes. And this was big. I'd always been quite big on my exercise, and I do exercise still today. I've changed it to less intense exercise, so no impact or anything like that. If not, exercise is a daily thing that I do every day, and that's really important to me. But my energy levels increased significantly from going to these non-carb meals once a day. So anyway, I learned from that and decided I was going to cut the carbs and the sugars from my diet and just see how things were going. But I wasn't expecting a magic bullet where all of a sudden I'd be cured of my Behçet's and everything would be hunky-dory. But in 2020, I was listening to a podcast from someone who'd had serious issues with a chronic disease, not too dissimilar to mine. And this person said, if you want to do one thing, there was the eliminator diet, that's it, where you eliminate something for a few weeks and see how it goes and work out whether you're allergic to things or have negative reaction to certain food types. And then if you feel okay, then you insert that back into your diet and then come off something else for 2 weeks to monitor it. Apparently they can do tests to detect these things as well. And I'd heard on a radio station that people with rheumatoid arthritis had used eliminator diets to work out which things triggered their immune responses that made it worse. So a new diet was something that needed to be explored in relation to Behçet's disease. But this woman on this podcast said, you can try the eliminator diet, you can go on this carnivore diet where you just eat meat, and many people had had huge improvements by just eating meat. And I was thinking, well, I don't know whether I want to go that extreme just yet. But she said, go gluten-free for 3 months, see how it goes, and weigh things up. And I thought, well, I'm struggling with my health. Can I go gluten-free? So I went to see a dietitian, and I said, listen, I want to go gluten-free. And he said, okay, what have you done so far? I explained my situation. He'd never heard of my Behçet's disease. He'd never really dealt with someone like this before. But he said, what have you done so far? And I said, well, I worked out the glutens in bread, cereals, crackers, and I've replaced them with gluten-free options. And he said, how do you feel? I said, yeah, you know, feel okay, but obviously I want to look at it further. So he asked me to do a food diary, and I wrote down everything I was having and how I felt afterwards and all that. And then I sent it to him. And this was during COVID in 2021, early in 2021. So I had to send it to him through the post and things like that. And he looked at it and he said, right, you've largely eliminated gluten. He said, but you're having gluten in this, 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 and this. And I went online and I researched it. And now I'm very good at knowing when gluten's in things, and I do my research, look at the labels and stuff. Basically, if it's got oats, barley, or wheat highlighted in the ingredients, I don't have it. He sent me a leaflet and he said, just make sure you're not getting it set in secondary gluten, if you like, or tertiary gluten through things which you might not know have got gluten in. So like brown sauce, for example, has usually got gluten in, and red sauce hasn't, so I've gone to red sauce instead of brown sauce. So anyway, I cut it out, and it was unbelievable what happened. And about 3 weeks after, I was in the shower, and I had a really sore shoulder. I've got arthritis and joint problems in my right shoulder, and I couldn't wash the left side of my body with my right hand underneath my left arm. And I was in the shower and I could do it. I went, wow. And I'd had problems with irritable bowel syndrome, and they just disappeared overnight. They've never come back. And I used to feel like I was going to fall asleep on the motorway driving home, because I used to work in a school in Wigan. And when I was on the motorway for like 20 minutes, the repetition and that, I was really, really, really struggling to stay awake, which is something that I'd never experienced when I was younger. And I thought, maybe I'm a bit older, or, you know. And that disappeared. The tiredness while driving just disappeared. And I had sleeps where I slept all night. And as you know, I've had issues with depression. Then I was waking up in the morning and not feeling really down first thing in the morning. And I thought, is this because I've gone gluten-free? So I wrote it all down, did feedback to the guy. And some of the things have got a little bit worse since then. But there's people all over the world who have got chronic illnesses, and people all over the world who might not have chronic illnesses, who, by being interested in their diets and exploring things and being willing to use the analogy of Plato's cave, not just do the things that they've always done, but to explore things. And I've said to people who I know have got health problems, like, have you tried this? And you just look at you like, oh, I like this too much, I like that too much. And you think, well, it's cost-benefit analysis at the end of the day. But if you get told by someone who's had huge improvements in their health, which I've had, that if you do this for 3 months, that might alleviate your symptoms. And if it doesn't, then go back on it. I don't know, I just find people quite strange, really. Obviously, I can turn the lens on myself, and all humans are strange and behave very strangely and have addictions and habits and things which are there in the shadow world, or, as Jung said, or in their background, the psychology, etc., that people won't change. I've had people who, when I've suggested dietary changes, have been quite like resistant and stuff. So each to their own. But I did a book review of a book about Behçet's disease, someone with Behçet's who changed their diet considerably and had many health improvements. And I did a review for an organisation for people with Behçet's disease in the UK. But I just want to say to people out there, if you've got any health conditions, if you've got any chronic conditions, get interested in diet, which doesn't mean you start speaking to Tricia online who tells you to do something mad, or you hear something from someone who, you know, says that you can cure cancer by having magnesium tablets or whatever. But get interested and do research and speak to people who've had success with diet and significantly improve your life. People say to me, oh, you must be limited in what you eat. You're like semi-vegan. You avoid dairy. You eat fish. You're a pescatarian. But gluten-free, that must be a nuisance. And I go, yeah, it is a nuisance. But it's also a nuisance when I can't play with my son because I'm too tired. It's also a nuisance when I'm taking daily medication, which I've been on for 20 years. It's also a nuisance when I feel like I can't do the things that other people do and take for granted. It's also a nuisance when you get told when you're older that you've got a particular type of cancer. It's also a nuisance, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, I could go on and on and on, but get interested in diet. And inside you, there's a real you that wants you to live well, live long, and live with quality. And get interested in diet. Just because you've done something for a long time doesn't mean that you can't give it up and you can't change it. So that's just my advice to people out there. Get interested in diet. My hand was forced because of my health. But there's a lot of people, I think, who would benefit from looking at what they eat, how they eat, chewing your food properly, those kinds of things. Really go back to basics. And if you want to change, and if you're forced to change, or you feel like you've got reasons why you need to change like I had, you can change and you can become better. And that doesn't mean that this will help everyone, and might not help you. That's fine, but have a go, particularly if you've got a health concern. And I was reading about a doctor in the northwest of England, actually, who said that he'd had a lot of joy with things like obesity and diabetes by suggesting people have low-carb diets. Doesn't mean you eliminate carbs. Just means that you say to yourself, do you want to take medication for the rest of your life and live a shorter life? Or do you want to make changes which will help you live longer? Right, I hope that wasn't too much of a rant and too much of a lecture, but this is something that's quite important to me and I just wanted to share it. Food, drink, diet, you're in control of these things. And we all have addictions and things that we find hard to give up. And my big idea is that when you give something up, replace it with something else. Find new foods, new ways of cooking, new things that you're into. And there can be a bit of a cost implication with gluten-free stuff as well. We're in a cost of living crisis, but let's think about how we can treat ourselves better and make ourselves better in the long term, and how we can give our children and young people better starts in life by thinking about what we're putting in our bodies every day. Right, thanks very much. Please like, subscribe, follow, share on all my channels and platforms. And thank you for all your support. If you can make a financial contribution once a month for the price of a cup of coffee, please get the details me in the notes. And here, drink lots of water, folks. Not lots of water, but stay hydrated. You are 78% water, so if you don't like water, you've got self-esteem issues, clearly. There's a joke in that. But seriously, look after yourselves. Drink water, sleep well, eat well. Let's live quality life.